about.
Now they're moving up to the starting line. There's a jolly good crowd here today. They're under starters' orders. And they're off! Oh, no, they're not. No, they didn't realize they were supposed to start.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
You were cracking us up the other day with your impressions. Do you do Bill Cosby? I love him.
Me too. America's moral compass.
Are people laughing with me or at me?
At you.
Now listen, I want you two to be very careful. Because it doesn't matter how good you are. When you die, you're going to a place that is hotter and darker than the bowels of hell.
And now...
I want to go to a place worse than hell. I've already been to a WNBA game.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 24th of November.
So how do you get a... one, two, three, four, five, six-day Thanksgiving weekend?
You just start making up stories about, oh, I have jury duty. Oh, I have to call. I might have to go in. Oh, maybe I won't, but maybe I will. But I'm just preparing you guys for the possibility that I might.
This is Bean. Right? This is Bean does not believe that Allie is sick.
Yeah. I think, I have jury duty today is the new I'm calling in sick. That's what I think. I think she realized that I am doubtful of I'm too sick to work. So she has craftily come up with, oh, I have jury duty. Right?
Interesting.
Doesn't it seem likely to you guys?
No. But if I were to go along with your insanity, I will mm-hmm. tell you that she had tickets to Jimmy Kimmel's show last night for the Star Wars episode.
Uh-huh.
And didn't go. So
because she's in Vegas.
Well, yes. But the reason that she gave me was because she was sick. So again...
Wow, she's piling on that.
Right.
She's doing jury duty and sick at the same time.
Right. Well played.
Figuring that if we believe one, even if we don't believe one, we'll probably believe the other.
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, see, people are crafty these days, man. That's why you got to see through the headlines. Can't just accept what the government tells you at face value, man.
I don't think it's the government in this particular case.
Well, whatever, I'm just saying. All right. Anyway, we do have a excellent show, despite being down a man, or a woman in this case, and I want to take you to Memphis, Tennessee for this story. We have talked numerous times over the years about my love of spiders. And how upsetting it is to me how many people, for whatever reason, it's ingrained in them as little kids that spiders are bad and evil and should be killed. And mm-hmm. I don't get it, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's contrary to the laws of nature, and stop it. So having said that, here's a story in Memphis, Tennessee, where a neighborhood has been taken over by a half a mile long spider web. Picture spider webs you've seen in your yard or in your house, Kevin.
Yeah.
Now picture one that's a half a mile long. Millions of spiders. Here's the news report from Memphis TV.
Even the author of Charlotte's Web could not have spun this story. Maybe it's best described as a sci-fi thriller.
By the way, I also love the way news is written. I really do.
I hate it for the same reason you love it.
And you know that somebody typed that out onto the teleprompter. Ooh, the author of Charlotte's Web couldn't have come up with this, and he just went nailed it.
Yep.
Right?
Either way, there's an eight-legged problem causing headaches for some homeowners in North Memphis.
It's an eight-legged problem.
This isn't frost or morning dew covering the grass in this neighborhood near Chelsea and May.
I've never seen anything. It's like a horror movie.
I've been here 34 years and I never saw this.
By the way, half of my interest in this story is the spiders. The other half is in the neighbors that they interview in the Memphis neighborhood about the spiders.
Never seen nothing like this before.
Turns out this ground cover is a finely spun home for spiders.
It's just a spider web, I mean, almost a mile long.
Yeah.
Full of spiders.
Not quite a mile long spider web, but nearly a half mile. Filled with thousands, possibly millions of spiders. And the arachnids aren't homebodies staying in the web.
By the way, are there listeners right now who are just getting the heebie-jeebies? Like, they're freaking out.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out, but I don't like it.
You know, you wouldn't want to be any part of this.
Nope.
Right.
They like to travel.
They just in the air. They flying everywhere. They all on the house, on the side of the wonders. When I got up this morning, it was like spiders all on my door. They were coming in my house. You can't even sit down in her house because they all on the wall and on the door. We've been killing spiders for about an hour now.
Well, that makes me sad. But the fact that the spiders are in the air is not something I had predicted.
And on the dirt.
And on the dirt.
Efforts to get rid of the spiders by neighbors Francis Ward, Deborah Lewis, and Ida Morris is slow going.
I've seen about 20 on my porch.
And they're worried this real-life creature feature could be dangerous, and they want the city to fix it.
Clean this area up from the...
And spray
for these spiders, and just make it be safe. The kids be out here running around. A spider could hit by one of the kids or anything.
While they wait for help, neighbors are taking spider extermination into their own hands.
You just get to,
one spider at a time.
By the way, these spiders are in no way dangerous, and they don't bite. So
you
they,
don't know that, man.
Well,
are
the
you
Memphis,
there?
The Memphis Zoo that they interviewed in later in the story said that they are not dangerous and they do not bite. What's going on with the spiders? A half a mile worth of spiders in Memphis? It's a mass dispersal of millions of tiny spiders that have always been in the field unnoticed until now. They're either juveniles in a big emergence event, or they're adults of a tiny species called the sheet web spider, who are leaving the field for reasons possibly knowable only to them. In the fields and meadows, there are often literally millions of spiders doing their things unseen and unappreciated. I would not want to live in a world, the zoo spokesperson says, where such things were no longer possible. The presence of these spiders tells us that all is well with nature at that location. So the zoo is saying it's a good thing.
The spiders are telling them that all is good.
All is well. That the ecology is healthy if those spiders are able to exist the way they are.
Spiders need a new PR person.
No,
that message is not getting out.
Well, when they're in the and on the dirt, I mean, you got to do something, right? When they come in my house, I guess you got to do something, according to those ladies in Memphis. So anyway, there you go. There's a terrifying nightmare for you to consider today. Half a mile spider web. Please enjoy.
It sounds racist.
Right. It's not at all racist.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean Show, shall we?
I don't know what that is, but no.
Petros Papadakis, our buddy, will be on the program today talking about USC-UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. I watched that 30 for 30 on USC. Did you see that, Bean?
I did not. I taped it.
I watched some of it before when we talked to Petros, but I watched the whole thing over this past weekend.
How was it?
It's an unbelievable story. It's amazing to watch Pete Carroll behind the scenes. It's amazing to watch the stars that these football players became. And it's also amazing to see how they try to make it so just high class. Like, we make movies. Watch this. VO outside on the football field. I was like, take it easy. That part of it sort of sucked. But it was pretty amazing. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Petros, the only good thing on it. Comedian Russell Peters. We'll be in studio today talking about some comedy he's doing at the Brea Improv. We have tickets for you to see the Clippers in Oklahoma City on the program today. We have sold out tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. As a matter of fact, we're going to give away those tickets in the first hour, in the 6 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. So we'll give away tickets for night number 2 coming up in the next hour. And if you missed Caitlin Nacon from Walking Dead, she's Enid. We've got some highlights of that coming up for you just after the top of the hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 is completely sold out. Thank you again for your purchase of those tickets, with that money going to some great local charities. We got tickets you can win for night number 2 coming up next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. So just a few minutes away. Stand by for your chance to win. Ralph Garman steps in. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Of course, it's Tuesday. It means it's new release day when it comes to DVDs. And here's what you can pick up. If you missed American Ultra in theaters with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart.
That was pretty good.
Pick that up today. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
She was remarkably alive in that film.
Yes.
I don't know what they were shooting her up with, but I say go with more of it.
Not only did she not ruin it, she was pretty good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her performance. Ricky and the Flash.
Didn't see that one.
Come on, Meryl Streep and Rick Springfield together for the first time, Kevin.
Nope.
Oh. You are.
That was a disaster, right?
It was a magical adventure in musical wonderment.
And?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it. Okay.
No. No Escape with Owen Wilson and Lake Bell. That was that political thriller about the family trying to get out of the country that's being overthrown.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It looked terrifying.
Looked good.
Shaun the Sheep movie, which you haven't seen. That, if you got kids, I took my little one to see this, and we had, loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it.
All right. I heard raves about that.
It's not only great for kids, but hilarious for grown-ups as well. The Brits just know how to walk that line between family entertainment and then something for adults. This works on many levels, this film. And it's,
you're all going to die tonight.
No, it's no dying tonight. Oh. It's about a group of sheep who are just looking for their farmer in the big city, and it's very entertaining. So that's what you can pick up. Do it. They make great Christmas gifts. Yes, got all your Christmas shopping done?
No. No.
You're behind, man. Bean's got next year's Christmas shopping already done.
I like to wait till Christmas Eve, and then the panic is just, it's wonderful. It's fun. You feel alive.
I was going to ask you guys.
Let's go from store to store. Just sweating. It's 50 degrees out, but you're still pouring sweat because you're running around so much. It's the best.
All the stores are out of everything.
Yeah, and you're pushing people. It's good times.
I was going to ask you guys this off the air, but since you brought up Christmas shopping, Ralph, remember last year, I've gotten lame and sloppy with my Christmas gift every recent years. Years are speeding up.
It's in the mail. I
run out of time, and then I feel terrible because I want to, you know, obviously give everybody a great gift. So last year, what I came up with that we ended up doing, and I know you remember this, Ralph, is we did the Wheel of Amazon.com.
Yes. That's right. I cashed in, baby.
Ralph got to hit the $500 jackpot, by the way, which was the top amount on the wheel. And, you know, everybody agreed to it last year, but I'm wondering if I can go back to that well, because some people, I think, like Kevin, I think you got like $5 or something like that.
No,
at Amazon.
I think Muggs got $1 or something.
No, yeah. That's fine. No, I'd be willing to take my chance.
Yeah.
I like gambling.
For the entertainment factor alone.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun, and of course I was, you know, very nervous because there was a $500 on there and a couple of 250s and a bunch of 100s.
There was a 1,000 on there as well.
Remember that 1,000 on there?
Well,
that you forced us to take off?
Chip, you won the 1,000, right?
Yeah.
No, I got 250.
Well,
because Chip got 250. That's right, Muggs got the 1,000.
Muggs
got
the 1,000.
Well, I just assumed you're not going to pay it. It doesn't matter.
because
if you got it or not.
Grinch.
Because Kevin is the one who decided to put the 1,000 on there, and I never authorized that.
You're
at all
a mean
because,
one,
because my fear
Bean.
Is it lands on that like three times, you know?
Really are so cheap.
But, Bean, you understand radio well enough to know that without that 1,000 on there, it's not that great a game.
That's right.
There has to be something that you're afraid of.
The stakes have to be raised.
That's right.
I was afraid of the 500.
This year it's $5,000.
This year's game, $5,000. Bean, you are so generous.
So I guess we're not doing the wheel after all.
We are doing
Come
the wheel.
On, man. Where's your Christmas spirit?
My Christmas spirit stops right around $500.
Well, a lot of love in that heart.
Wow.
Say. Who would have guessed that Evel Knievel would be so hot in 2015? So there have been two separate Evel Knievel projects. He's very hot.
Okay.
Johnny Knoxville, of course, did that documentary.
I watched that one, and it was great.
Fascinating,
it was
right?
Great.
It was great, yeah. He was an idiot.
Well, he was a madman.
He was crazy, jumping motorcycles that weren't made for it at all.
He was the original daredevil.
Yeah, half the time he knew he wasn't going to land. Just like, oh, well.
Whatever happens, happens.
Yep.
And he lived his personal life pretty much as recklessly as he did his professional. Paramount Pictures announced they're putting together yet another film about Evel Knievel. This one will be a, acted film. It's not going to be a documentary. But it's based on the Sheldon Saltman book, Evel Knievel on Tour. Saltman was the guy who plugged Evel's rocket cycle jump of the Snake River Canyon. And Evel Knievel apparently hated it all so much, that whole event, that he went onto the 20th Century Fox lot where Saltman was a VP and broke his arm with a baseball bat.
Wow!
Yeah.
That's evil.
That's Evel Knievel. So, I'm looking forward to it. Channing Tatum maybe to star as Evel Knievel.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So we'll have to wait and see. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Stephen Merchant, very funny and talented actor and comedian, a longtime working associate of Ricky Gervais, of course. They worked on The Office together and Life is Short and Extras. Mm-hmm. 41 years old today. Our buddy Colin Hanks. LA Kings fan number one. 38 years old today. I can
that
say
Life
that
in Pieces, Allie's
not here, so she doesn't cry.
Oh, there you go. He's so good on that Life in Pieces, that CBS comedy.
He's good in everything he does.
Terrific, yeah.
Katherine Heigl is 37 years old today, and actress Sarah Hyland from Modern Family celebrates her 25th birthday.
No bell for Katherine Heigl?
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, I think yes.
I think sound down, but now?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
I think still bell.
All right.
Look, you're giving Miley Cyrus some
come
bell
on.
Yesterday.
Give her five or six bells.
The least you could do is throw the Heigs something, right?
Katherine Heigl.
It's a reluctant bell.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. We told you this was coming. Your tickets for night two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, which is sold out on December 13th at the Forum. This is the night with Chris Cornell, by the way, and with Fall Out Boy, with Panic at the Disco, the 1975, The Neighborhood. It's going to be a great night. 11 K-Rock artists on one stage in one night. We want you to be there. Call now at 1-800-520-1067. The show is sold out, but you can win your tickets right now. You will have to earn them. We're going to have you play a game, and it is not going to be easy, but call now if you'd like to go.
I went to a Halloween party and saw one of my friends dressed as Bob Ross.
Really?
Yes, and I said, what's with the afro? Who is that? Who is that? He's like, Bob Ross. He taught painting on PBS all those years.
Bob Ross, we were talking about on the show last week, has been dead for 20 years now, and for a number of years before that, you're right, Kevin, he had that very popular painting show. He's a very gentle-speaking guy who manages to take a brush and just touch the canvas and make a beautiful cloud.
Yeah, he's an ass, because I would watch that show and try it. He'd go, oh, yeah, you just do this, 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 and this, and it comes out beautiful. And then I would try it, and it just looked like a mess.
Like a blob, right?
Yes.
Well, the fascinating thing that we talked about last week that I had not heard about is that there is a way to become a certified Bob Ross instructor. There's a school in Florida where you go. It's a very intensive school for 3 weeks where you learn to paint like Bob Ross and then learn to teach like Bob Ross. And it's very popular. There are over 3,500 people in the world who have gone through this school in 39 countries around the world. And I said at the time, I said, there's my retirement plan right there.
Right.
When I am pushed away from the microphone, I'm heading right to the Bob Ross School, and I'm going to be a Bob Ross instructor. That sounds like a beautiful way to live.
Do you paint?
No, I don't paint, but I can learn. I'm going to go to the school and learn how to paint like Bob Ross and then impart my wisdom to others.
Do you teach?
I mean, technically, no, I've never been a teacher. Why? You're trying to make it sound like I'm unqualified for this profession.
Are you already doing it is my real question.
No.
Already started?
No, I'm saying this is going to be...
Have you taken the course?
No. After radio. This is my retirement plan. Why are you looking at me like
that?
Are
you already teaching?
No. What are you talking about?
We have audio.
No, you don't.
Yes.
How
we
can
do.
You?
One of your, in quotes, students sent
it in. What are you talking about?
You teaching the Bob Ross system.
Oh, come on.
This is being as a Bob Ross instructor. Boy, this is going to be...
Good morning, class. Hey, I'm here to teach you the Bob Ross style of painting. The joy of painting, if you will. I'm your teacher, Professor Baxter. This is our 12th class together. And in this class, like the 11 others, our focus is going to be on painting the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh.
Hey, 29 people died in that. Now, here, we take this little brush, and here we paint the water, and this, and I'll be going around looking at your work while I'm demonstrating. And this is just the ship here going down. These are the dead bodies who are sinking down into the water. What are you painting there?
I'm just painting some trees.
There were no trees in the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I know, but Bob Ross always painted trees, and I like his leaves.
It's leaves! You should know better. I'm going to write you a strongly worded letter.
Professor Baxter?
Yes, you in the back there.
Why does it look like there's a Denny's restaurant on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald in your painting?
That's just an artistic license. Today's Denny's Day.
I'd like my money back, please.
There's no refunds. And I'm going to take this brush right here, and I'm going to make one of the 29 victims a big-breasted woman.
Oh.
Yes. Use this brush here.
Nope. To
make,
oh, God.
Daddy likey.
Nope.
No.
I'm out of here. Who else is going? I'm out of here. Get out of here. You suck. This guy's terrible.
Wait. I didn't get to the fluffy clouds that look like boobies.
See, I'm going to be good at that.
Clippers tickets you can win later on. Petros Papadakis talks the big game coming up this weekend in college football, and comedian Russell Peters all on the way. First, though, how about setting you up with some tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. It's coming up on the 13th of December at the Forum. It is completely sold out. It's a great lineup of 11 K-Rock acts. We have listeners on the phone right now. You can win, but you will have to earn these tickets. And this game is not easy. Am I right?
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin Nanby.
How are your holidays looking? What are you and Mrs. Announcer Man going to be doing? Anything special? Anything fun?
The usual. Invite some friends over, have some eggnog, and then lay out the twister mat for some nude oil twister.
Oh.
I withdraw the question.
Okay.
I regret that. All right. Well, happy
coconut
holidays.
Coconut oil.
We have listeners on the line. They are curious how this game is played, sir.
It's pretty easy. We will name for you a band that's playing at night, too. Of the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, all you need to do is identify that band. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. We'll be saying them backwards!
Yay!
Well, that sounds hard.
It's always getting hard!
All right, so we will play it for you twice, and then you have to tell us which band on the bill for night number two it is. Then you go into the drawing to win the tickets yourself. Who's our first contestant, please?
First up is Enrique. He's from Pacoima. He's a truck driver. He's a man.
Hey, Enrique.
Hello.
Welcome to the hardest game in the world. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to give it to you twice. Here it is. One more time.
The
1975.
Oh,
sorry.
Thanks
hard.
For playing.
It is hard.
Next up is Tony. He's from Paramount, and he works for a steel company. That was the nickname for my penis in college. The steel company.
Right, we got it. Okay.
All it does is make steel.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Duffman. All right, Tony, listen up. Here's your band from night two. We'll play it for you twice. Good luck.
All right.
Jeez.
Whoa.
One more time.
What is that paragraph trying to say, Tony?
Andrew McMahon.
Continue, please. So far, so good.
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
There you go.
Yes!
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
Nicely done. All right, you're one step closer. Yeah, we got that. That was your penis nickname.
Just making steel in my pants.
I understood.
Next up is Joseph. He's from Arcadia. He's a machinist. That was also the nickname for my penis in college. The machinist.
Hey, Joseph.
Hi, good morning.
Welcome to the hardest game. You ready?
I am ready.
There you go.
What's in the back?
One more time.
What's in the back?
Gonna have to go with Chris Cornell.
Panic at the Disco.
So close, but not really close at all. But thank you for playing.
Next up is Rick. He's from Westchester. He's a business consultant. Also the name of my penis in college.
No, that doesn't make any sense, Mr. Downer.
The business consultant. It's all business all the time. Consult it, won't you?
Right. All right, Rick, hi.
Good morning, party people.
Are you ready for your band?
Hey, let's do it.
There you go.
Lionel Sir.
One more time.
Lionel Sir.
I'm going to go with Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Well done.
Well, this game is hard, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's the hardest game in the world.
It is, right? So I'm pleased when somebody gets through step one toward winning the tickets.
Next up is Robert. He's from San Clemente. He's a store subcontractor. I got nothing for that.
All right. Hey, Robert.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome to the game. You ready?
I'm ready.
Play it for you twice.
Namnazer, it's Namva.
One more time.
Namnazer, it's Namva.
Easy for that guy to say.
The band is?
I'm going to go with Monsters and Men.
Of Monsters and Men.
Look at that.
Yeah!
All right.
All right, so Tony's in, Rick's in, Robert's in. Who's up next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Adrian. He's from Long Beach. He's a delivery driver. Also the name of my penis in college. The delivery driver.
Right.
Take a delivery from the delivery driver.
That's right. Disturbing trend. I wish we'd never gone down this road.
Hey, Adrian.
Good morning, my friend. Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Adrian.
Here you go. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready, sir.
Yabs me.
One more time.
Yabs me.
Let's go with El King.
James Bay.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Hey, thank you. All right.
I feel like one more might be where we need to go next.
Next up is a lady. It's Janelle from Anaheim. She's a medical intern.
Hey, Janelle.
Don't say anything, Mr. Announcer Man.
Not a word.
All right. All right, Janelle. Good luck. We'd like to get you in the drawing for night two tickets. Here you go.
Thank you.
Snake oval.
One more time.
Snake oval.
Cold War Kids?
Yes!
Cold War Kids.
Yeah! Yeah!
All right. That one helped you out a lot syllable-wise. It did kind of have the same cadence even backwards as for it. So well done,
cadence
Janelle.
It back and still hard.
It is hard. Janelle, Robert, Rick, Tony. Hey, since the girl's out today, who's doing the grand prize drawing here to win tickets for night number two?
The other girl?
All right,
the
Jeff,
winner is
winner.
Robert.
We have a winner! Robert!
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Congratulations, enjoy the show. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:50.
I'm no fan of young women in their 20s in bikinis with large breasts. That's not my thing.
Right.
But there are some people who like it, some people that are into it, and for them, we have the Miss Double December pageant coming up on December the 4th, which, by the way, is a week from Friday. We're going to be down in Fullerton at the Slide Bar, like we do, crowning Miss Double December 2016, and you will decide who Miss Double December is. Kevin, you've been to KROQ.com. You've seen the layout.
Yep.
But, what's your
takeaway?
I voted
many different times.
Well, that's fine. You're allowed to get out and vote early.
Did you actually do it on the computer? Or there's, no. There's voting different times. Is that just code for whatever it is you're doing?
I vote in private.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Kevin votes by the ounce, Ralph. That's what's going on here.
Oh, come on!
Did you
think nobody understood what I was saying, so you had to add that?
Did you mean pint?
Oh, for God's sakes.
If you like Alyssa.
I gotta go. I'll see you.
Vote for her.
Ralph,
come back, Ralph. Come on. We're friends.
We're
Ralph,
all having
fun.
Filling. I thought we were all laughing.
The name of our autobiography. There's Megan, and there's the beautiful Rosa, and there's Shauna, and there's Stella, and they're all so darn lovely, and one of them will be Miss Double December, and here's what we're saying is go to KROQ.com, KevinBean.com, take a look at the pictures, read the questionnaires, cast your vote, and don't forget we'll be meeting all these ladies in person as they join us on the show starting Monday. It's the most wonderful time of the year, you guys, the Miss Double December pageant, right?
Yes, it is, Bean.
Yes.
All right. 6:52, Tuesday morning, time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of fun things to do, how about poker?
I like it.
All right. How would you like to play at the K-Rock Party in the Poker Pit Poker Tournament?
Yay!
It's all happening at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino down there in beautiful Bell Gardens, California. It's all meant to celebrate the opening night of their brand new hotel.
Where can people go to get information and be, you know, turn the ignorance around?
Well, to turn the ignorance around, you should go to thebike.com. All the details are right there. But we're having a big party to celebrate, and it's going to be a big poker tournament with Beer Mug and Lightning and DJ Jeremiah Red and Dave the King of Mexico.
Nice.
How would you like to play at the poker table with Dave the King of Mexico? Yes, you would.
You would. He doesn't know a lot about poker, but that also makes him a little dangerous.
Yeah, he's a bit of a loose cannon. We'll give you two racks of chips worth $200 as well. Dinner for four at the new Bike Brewery restaurant. You can check it out. This will be a great event, and it's all happening on December the 1st at the Bicycle Hotel and Casino. That's next week.
Yes, it is.
Wow, right around the corner. If you'd like to go, you got to be 21 years of age or older, so call now 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 and 21 two winners will get tickets to play at Dave's table at the K-Rock Party in the Poker Pit Poker Tournament at the Bike.
Let's check it out, shall we?
Let's. You know what else you want to check out? Magic Mike coming to Broadway. Boop, boop. Boop, boop. The Magic Mike musical apparently had a reading in New York last week, and by all accounts, it was great. Of course, they only asked two middle-aged women, but they thought it was great. The show is a prequel to the two Magic Mike movies, and will follow Magic Mike through his struggling college days, through his evolution to male stripper. You know, when you're a struggling college student, you gotta be a male stripper.
Right.
Oh, you don't have to tell Kevin.
We've all been there.
Make a buck.
Right.
Look at Thicky over there, man. He knows what you're talking about.
I don't need Thicky. I don't need pints. I don't need any of this conversation that you guys are having at all. This is for your private time.
You love it.
This is your pillow talk. Don't air it in public.
You need more of it.
Nothing's been scheduled yet, but the Magic Mike musical will probably land on Broadway for the 2016-2017 season sometime. So I'll keep you posted for Magic Mike.
Are they making that a musical, Ralph?
Yes.
Okay.
No, it's going to be a drama. All the guys going to be dancing to prose.
What the sweet Jesus kind of question is that? Look, the reason
Plus
I asked
he said
is,
musical.
Thank
they
you.
Didn't. I didn't see the movies, but the movies weren't musicals, right?
They were loaded with music.
They have to
because
dance
the guys
to
have something to
Bean?
Dance to. But right. I'm just wondering if it's going to be all singing, all dancing. If it's going to be one of those things where the characters will be singing about, now I'm going to strip for you. I mean, I didn't know. I'm trying to figure out how that makes the shut up, Jeff. I'm trying to figure out how that makes the transition to the stage.
You ask the best questions.
I am confused by how the humans entertain themselves. I hope you audition, though. That's all I care about. Now I'm going to strip for you. Big Bean just lumbering around on the stage. Big Herman Munster head just bobbing to the music. Falling over.
Off the stage.
Ah, Star Wars has taken over every aspect of the world.
Taint Wars.
No, Star Wars.
Star Wars, actually.
Including crime. Robert wearing a Darth Vader costume tried to rob a convenience store in Jacksonville, Florida. This week. That's going to a lot of work for a convenience store
yeah.
stick up, isn't it? To put on the Darth Vader costume?
It's a bank. It's a
bank, I can see. But, you know, a Piggly Wiggly or whatever they have down there, you're going to knock that over. You're going to put on your whole costume. What are you going to get? Some beef jerky and a handful of nickels. Anyway, Darth pulled out a silver handgun and demanded the money that was in the register. The clerk had none of it and struggled with Darth.
What?
Yes. That's some balls, by
no
the way.
No kidding.
Because he can just put his hand up and just,
no,
just
that's,
force choke that's you right
just,
there.
That's fiction. That's part of the movie.
The clerk grabbed a bottle of salad dressing.
And, this story has everything.
And hit Darth in the head. Full force. Darth took off but was caught a short time later after witnesses identified him as, hey, it's that guy in the Darth Vader costume that's got salad dressing all over him.
Maybe he didn't think about the escape plan.
Jacob Jeremy Mercer, who's 32, was charged with armed robbery. You know, Disney is really playing out all the plugs to advertise
this
next film.
I
think they've crossed the line finally. Don't you believe so?
This is why you fail.
Right. You guys know who Carly Simon is?
Sure.
Carly Simon, singer-songwriter. She was a big star in the 70s, had some hits in the 80s, you know. Right now, she's looking back over her life in her new memoir called Boys in the Trees. She had a musical duo before she became a solo act. She had a musical act with her sister Lucy. I did not know this, but Carly writes that in 1965, the girls were on a boat from England to New York, where they ran into actor Sean Connery.
Okay.
Sean invited them back to his luxury cabin on the boat.
What a surprise.
For a Simon Sisters sandwich, as he referenced, but they said no. The next night, however, Lucy did go back to Sean's room. When Carly found out, she said that split up their musical act for good.
Wow. Her sister's just a human being.
A little jealousy there between the Simon sisters, apparently.
Who can resist Sean Connery?
And no one.
Wasn't he already James Bond at this time?
Yes, 65. Yeah, of course he was. He was at the peak of his powers.
Wow.
Former Mr. Universe Sean Connery, by the way, right? Or Mr. Universe contestant, at least.
Yeah, I think he came in third.
Loser.
Loser. I'd like a Simon Sister sandwich.
What?
What do you want?
Shyman Sister Sandwich. No wonder they didn't go back to his room.
Didn't
they
understand
him? They didn't figure out what he was saying until like an hour later. Oh, you know what he was asking for? And Lucy was like, ding.
Yeah.
Light bulb went off.
And then a few years later, Carly does a theme for a different James Bond movie.
Hmm. Yeah.
That was a nice bow you put on that story, Bean.
There you go.
It's beautiful. I love everything about this story.
Yeah, me too. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Sarah Hyland from Family Modern. I'm listing it alphabetically, so you have to put the last word first. It's like the library. It's like when they do a book.
Okay.
25 years old today. Katherine Heigl's 37.
Oh, from Anatomy Grey's?
Yes. Colin Hanks from Pieces, Life In. 38 years old today. And comedian Stephen Merchant turns 41. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. How about this for an awesome plan for you and your family for the holidays? A four-pack of tickets to see the Clippers welcome the Oklahoma City Thunder to town. That is a great rivalry. They'll be playing at Staples Center on December the 21st. This is not just tickets, by the way. It's a family four-pack, including a parking pass, early entry into the arena to watch the players warm up. You get a family photo on the Clippers court prior to the game, and four passes to the members-only Lexus Club. An amazing deal from the Clippers. And we want you to go. 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now. You will have to earn it. We'll give you a chance to play a game in about 10 minutes or so. If you're a basketball fan, if you love the Clippers, now's the time to call the Kevin and Bean Show and win from K-Rock.
Until this last weekend, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez have been broken up for about a year.
Right.
Did you know that they're named Jelena? Do you know that was their name?
I have seen that. Yeah. I've seen that written. Yeah, Jelena.
Of course you have.
All celebrities, ever since, Brangelina and Bennifer and back then in the 90s when this became the thing, all celebrities now, no matter how awkward they sound, have to have a name where they put the two names
right,
together.
Okay.
But, look, he was an asshat, right? I mean,
yeah.
she dumped him, as far as I understand, because of his horrible behavior, because he's a terrible person. But he allegedly has his life on the right track now, and he's staying out of trouble, and he's certainly back musically. He's got the number one album in America right now. But we thought we would check in with our friend Justin Bieber and see what's up and what's changed and what his plan is to win back Selena Gomez. So Mr. Bieber joins us back on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Justin.
Why are the questions, bro?
We just said,
said hello. That's it. They haven't even asked a question.
Coming at me so hard, being all media, eh?
What?
It's hard to be a child star growing up in the limelight, eh? I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
Well, you know, you didn't have to do it. You wanted
to
be.
I do, man. I have to do it because I have so much, all the music inside me, eh?
Ah, I see.
But isn't the world going to be fine if we don't have you asking us, what do you mean,
what
80 times in a
mean?
Row?
What does it mean?
Right. Well, we don't need.
Say you should go, and then you ask me to stay, and then I'd go away, and you say, please come back. What does that mean when you say come back? Do you really mean come back?
Maybe Selena got tired of those questions.
Selena loves me, yo.
We're back
together again. Jelena for life, forever, yo.
All right, so we wanted to ask you about the Montage Beverly Hills Hotel this past weekend. You were sitting at
Montage!
The
Montage.
Right. That's the name of the restaurant or the bar, I guess.
What does it mean
in the Beverly Hills
Hotel? They call it Montage, but you don't work out getting ready for a big fight or anything.
Okay.
What does it mean?
Yeah. Not that kind of montage, I guess. All right. So what happened? So you guys are in there. You went there together, and then you just decided to jump up on stage and sing to her? What happened, Justin?
Well, we were hanging out, eh? And then, you know, we're there, and she's looking at me, and I'm looking at her. And here's the thing. Once you go Canadian, you can't wait to get laid again.
Did you just make that up?
Yep.
you hoping that catches fire?
She wanted a little, you know, she wanted to return to the beeb.
Is that right?
She wanted a little beeb.
Uh-huh.
She wanted some of that sweet maple syrup, yo.
Yeah,
from
I don't
Canada,
think
eh?
Right.
Yeah. We know you're from Canada,
Canada,
but I don't.
Canada,
no, we got it. But I don't think this is the kind of talk that is going to endear her to you. I think she's hoping you have grown up and matured a little bit, and you won't come on the radio and say dumb things anymore.
But Selena can't help herself because she needed some more of that Canadian hockey stick, yo.
Right.
Eh?
Right. We get it. We understand.
Yes, you're having sex with Selena Gomez. We got that, Justin.
And I'm not talking about the regular stick. I'm talking about that goalie stick, yo.
Right, okay.
Like the blocker.
Right.
Eh?
Okay, yes. Right.
Yes. So Canada, hockey A, got it.
I started dancing, and then I sang to her a rendition of My Girl.
Okay.
You know that My Girl song from, like, the olden times?
Right, from the Temptations from the 1960s, yeah.
Yeah, and I said, You are my girl, and you are my girl, but you think you're my girl. Are you my girl?
That's not the old one, though. That's not how it goes.
That's just their lyrics on top of your song.
Every song goes, yo.
Oh, because every song is...
we're living in the Bieber world, eh?
Let's see.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So then once I sang to her and we danced a little bit, girl was just lost again. She couldn't help herself because she knows... she got to have some Bieber because once you go Canadian,
right?
You want to get laid again.
Right. We understand. Okay. All right, Justin. So far it's going well.
So I got out my Mountie, right?
Okay, that doesn't work at all.
My Royal Mountie.
Okay.
She Royal Mounted me, yo.
Okay, because you're from Canada.
We got all that.
Yeah, we get it. All right. We have to go, Justin, but I'm glad we got a chance to catch up, and I hope it continues to go well with your girlfriend.
So I said, why don't you get on my Winnipeg? I'm from Canada, eh?
Yes, you are.
I made her go Toronto.
I'm not even sure that made sense.
Me neither, eh?
All right. .7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:18. Comedian Russell Peters joins us next hour. Also, our friend Petros Papadakis will be here as well. And keep on listening for your chance to win more tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. Speaking of giveaways, L.A. Clippers. Great game December 21st at Staples Center versus Oklahoma City. We want you to be there with an L.A. Clippers family four-pack, including all the stuff I mentioned moments ago. 1-800-520-1067. If you want to play the game this time around, is Total Recall.
Total Recall. That's the game that we play. If you want tickets to the Clippers
versus Oklahoma City.
Oh, yeah. Total Recall. Clippers
versus Oklahoma City tickets.
That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall. Oh, yeah.
Janky.
Yeah, janky indeed. We don't have the budget for an occasional re-sing. Everything just has to be stripped in like that. Come on. All right, Kevin, your contestants are set. Yes. What are you going to be asking them to do here?
I'm going to ask you a question, and basically there's going to be a lot of answers to it. It's a pretty general question tied into the Clippers in some way. You have 10 seconds, though. That's the difficult thing. You have 10 seconds to give us five answers.
All right, 10 seconds for five things. And if you get it right, you go into the drawing, and somebody will win the Clippers prize package in just a minute. Let's meet our first contestant. It's going to be Mario. He's up in Los Angeles on line one. Hey, Mario.
Hey,
what's going
morning,
on, man?
Guys.
Hi there.
Good morning.
Well, good luck to you. I hope you're a Clippers fan. And here's Kevin again. 10 seconds on the clock. Come up with five in the category that he describes. Here we go.
All the right. LA Clippers play in Los Angeles.
Right.
In 10 seconds, name five other cities with NBA teams. In 10 seconds, name five other cities with NBA teams. Go.
Five NBA teams. Los Angeles, Miami, Minnesota, New York.
Sorry. By the way, Minnesota's... Los Angeles counts for Lakers as well, I think.
Yeah, so that's why I gave him the ding. But Minnesota, not even a city. But nice try anyway, Mario. We appreciate you playing the game.
All right, let's go to Javier in Norwalk. Hi there.
Hey.
All right, Javier, 10 seconds on the clock. We want five answers. Good luck. Listen up.
Blake Griffin of the Clippers played college ball at Oklahoma. In 10 seconds, name five other universities known for their basketball program. In 10 seconds, five other universities known for their basketball program. Go.
FSU, UCLA. USC, Duke, Georgetown.
Wow, just in time.
Ohio. Yep.
Just in time.
I don't know that USC is known for their basketball program, but I think we give it to you because they do have a basketball team. I think, Kevin, you were looking for your Dukes and your Kentuckys and your Georgetowns and your big names, but we'll give it to Javier. He sounds like a good guy.
Sure. That's how we judge these things.
That's how we judge them, right.
All right.
All right. You are in the drawing. Let's try Fernando Whittier, line three, our next contestant. Hey, Fernando, it says here you work at LAX. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is this the nightmare week of all time at LAX, and does everybody try to not have to work because of the Thanksgiving travelers?
Actually, I work on the cargo side, so I don't really
Oh, so it was last week. Yeah.
All right. Didn't make a difference. Okay. All right. Listen up. Good luck. 10 seconds on the clock. We'll look for 5 answers from you to go into the drawing for the Clippers package. Good luck. Chris Paul
has a shoe deal with Nike that's very successful. In 10 seconds, name 5 other successful NBA players, past or present, with successful shoe deals. Name 5 other successful NBA players, past or present, with a successful shoe deal. Go.
All right. Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Paul, Chris Webber.
I assume.
Yeah, I got to tell you that Chris Paul was one that was in the question. So does he get that?
He didn't make 5 anyway.
Okay. All right,
did he not say Michael Jordan, by the way?
I don't think so.
I said Air Jordan.
I didn't hear him say Air Jordan.
All right. I didn't either. All right. Thanks for playing.
All right.
All right. This is a tough one, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What?
Yeah, it is. It's just that 10-second thing is impossible.
It goes by awfully fast. All right. Let's go out to the beautiful town of Hemet, California, and speak with Jamie, our first lady contestant. Hey, Jamie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
All right. Are you ready? You ready for Total Recall?
Yeah. I'm going to do my best. I'm nervous.
All right. DeAndre Jordan does a perfect impression of superstar Charles Barkley. In 10 seconds, name 5 other former NBA superstars. In 10 seconds, name 5 other former NBA superstars. Go.
Oh, geez. Michael Jordan. I'm a Clipper fan. No. I'm not going to get it. I'm sorry.
Oh. Kareem and Magic and Patrick Ewing and Karl Malone and
Larry Bird.
I'm a Clipper fan.
Okay.
Okay. Well, that's all right. Well, it's good to have you. Sorry you didn't win, but thanks a lot for playing. All right. Let's do one more Total Recall contestant, and let's make it our friend Eric in Pomona on line 6, please.
Hey, Eric.
Morning.
Since everything has to be tied into Star Wars, I ask this question. Chris Paul's nickname is CP3, which, of course, is named after C-3PO from Star Wars. In 10 seconds, name 5 characters from the Star Wars universe. In 10 seconds, name 5 characters from the Star Wars universe. Go.
R2-D2, Han Solo, Darth Vader, Princess Leia, Wookiees or whatever.
Oh, do we take Wookiees?
No. I don't like Star Wars, man.
You don't like Star Wars? Get off my phone. All right, so it looks to me like it's either going to be Javier or Javier. Chip, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Javier.
We have a winner! Javier! Congratulations.
Awesome, thank you guys.
Enjoy the game, thanks for playing it.
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel, who hosts the late-night show on ABC, was talking about Star Wars The Force Awakens last night, which is coming out on December the 18th, and he said it's the most anticipated sequel, I think, since the New Testament.
Yeah.
Which is about right. I mean, this is crazy. There have been so many Star Wars movies for our whole lives, but even now, when the commercials come on for the new one, I get goosebumps.
Yeah.
I still see the trailers for Force Awakens, and I get genuinely excited by it. Like, what is it about Star Wars that has captured our imagination so much that it has become so important to us?
Yeah, I don't know, because it does seem like it has just taken over the world.
Yeah.
And by the way, a few seconds ago when I said that CP3 got his name from C-3PO, I was kidding.
You're making a joke saying how everything ties into Star Wars, right?
It's a poorly delivered joke.
Jimmy had a fantastic show last night where he had a bunch of cast members from A Force Awakens on with him, including Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford was there, Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, J.J. Abrams was on, and they just made a whole hour of talking about Star Wars. Now, I didn't see it yet, but I'm hearing great things about it, Kevin, and you were very impressed with a young 7-year-old named Arden Hayes. What's Arden's deal?
Arden is a genius. He knows everything about everything. And so Jimmy has had him on before, so Jimmy brought on Arden. And they did a game show where they did Star Wars trivia. So it was Arden on one side, J.J. Abrams was the host, and then on the other side was Adam Driver, Kylo Ren, Carrie Fisher, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega.
All right, so the kid is competing against actual Star Wars actors in Star Wars trivia.
Yes.
I like it.
And here's how that went. And I want you to play along and see how many of these you get, because I was watching it last night and thought you know, I'm not the kind of guy that remembers a lot of stuff, but I paid attention in Star Wars, and I know a lot, but this kid is unbelievable.
What was Luke planning to pick up at Tashi Station?
The power converters.
The power converters? That's right. That is absolutely correct.
That is correct.
All right, would you got that, Bean?
Nope.
Okay.
Artem has 10 points. Next question is for your cast.
Here we go. Get ready, guys. Where did Uncle Owen tell Luke to take the droids into to have their memory erased?
You have 10 seconds to figure this out.
So what happened, Carrie?
Carrie was in the original film.
Elstree Studios.
Your answer is?
Boardwood Studios.
I was not on that planet.
I'm sorry.
Anchorhead.
Anchorhead was the correct answer. All right, next question is for Arden.
Who was Red Leader during the Battle of Endor?
Wedge Antilles.
That's right.
That is correct.
Would you have gotten that? No, I would not have been able to come up with it. When I hear the answer, it sounds right. But that kid, I mean, he doesn't even have to think about the answers. He's so fast. That's amazing.
Next question for your cast.
All right. In what detention block was one Princess Leia being held?
I was unconscious for that part, so you guys take over.
I wasn't born.
Wait a minute. Any other excuses?
Wait.
What detention block?
51.
Wait, I answered.
By the way, he's answering their question.
Carrie Fisher, who was Princess Leia, doesn't remember.
Right.
And Arden jumps in and says, wait, hold on, I answered, and he wasn't even supposed to.
What?
Yeah, it was AA-23.
Oh, yeah, it's AA-23, but it was
that is correct.
By the way, the kid is incredible.
Right?
He is 7 years old.
Yeah.
And he's already committed these films to memory.
Not
That's
just
amazing.
That, the pressure of being on TV, and you know what I mean? And the cameras,
right.
And you're against four different people that were in the movies.
This is already an insurmountable lead. The next question goes to the cast first. JJ?
How many skiffs accompany Jabba the Hutt's sail barge?
How many skiffs accompany Jabba the Hutt's sail barge?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
It is wrong.
Arden, how many skiffs?
Two.
That's
two.
Right.
Oh.
Two
skiffs. Correct.
All right, the next question is for Arden. He has a huge lead, 40 points. There's really no point in continuing, but we are going to anyway. JJ?
During the Battle of Yavin, Jack Porkins was assisted by which astromech droid?
All right, I don't even understand that question.
Right, I'm with you. Okay.
R5-D8.
That's right.
That is correct.
Well, let's have another one just for the hell of it to see if you guys can get. Have any of you seen Star Wars?
I studied for this.
You studied for this?
Genuinely.
Well, you failed. Next question.
What docking bay in Mos Eisley housed the Millennium Falcon?
What? Oh, I know that.
Oh,
somewhere.
You have 10 seconds.
What was it?
The question again.
What docking bay in Mos Eisley housed the Millennium Falcon?
Three.
Docking bay 94.
Ah.
That is correct.
All right. You know, I think this game is over, and I think we have a winner, and I think his name is...
Check that dude out. I applaud young Arden Hayes. That's fantastic. Jimmy Kimmel Live from last night.
And now, a moment with Bean.
I would think that some of those... what's that that show that we like?
You know, the one with the guy who Hallie.
That was a moment with Beam.
I just think you're terrific.
That's right.
Slow
I know that we are only a few shows away from counting down our top 10 moments with of the year, and I see
stepped it up.
I suspect that one is going to make the top.
Well, you did give us that show we like.
Right.
With that guy who?
All the clues were there.
You can't
figure it out. That's on you.
Exactly. It's not my fault
right.
if I'm given mad clues and you're just deaf. All right? It's not my fault. Comedian Russell Peters, very funny man, has never been on the Kevin and Bean Show before. So we thought today would be the day to rectify that. So he joins us next there. Also, we'll catch up with our friend Petros Papadakis. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, were you all nervous last night about who was going to be, you know, booted off Dancing with the Stars? How long does this show go on?
Is that still on?
Is it like a 13-month season?
Baseball?
Is it just never? Does it never,
never
stop?
Ends.
I thought it was like a summertime show. I am stunned that it is still airing.
So somebody got kicked off? And you're asking us
here. Or the show is over? Was there a winner?
Somebody
win?
No.
Oh, there's still plenty of couples left.
Oh.
Scores were very close, however, with Carlos Peña Vega.
And
Johnny Asshole. No, he didn't. He's already been booted.
Oh.
And Whitney Carson. And
who's the celebrity in that couple?
You got me, son. Okay. Carlos, I want to say.
Okay.
All right.
Alec Scarlatos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay Arnold. They
who's
did very
well. Who's
the
celebrity in that couple?
You got me, son.
Isn't this Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
Why don't I know who any of these people are?
Bindi Irwin, you know her.
I know who she is, yeah, because she had a famous father.
I don't know who any of those people are.
And Nick Carter. We're okay. Remaining last night, but sadly, Carlos Peña Vega and his partner, Whitney, she could be his daughter for all I know. They could be husband and wife and father and daughter.
As much as we mock this show, it gets huge ratings.
I know. I mock.
It's crazy.
Because I don't understand. That's same. Why I mock. Truth with everything I make fun of in life. So Carlos is gone now. It's just down to Alec and Bindi and Nick. So
well, I'm not going to watch anymore if Carlos isn't.
Good luck, everybody. Speaking of the Carter family, Aaron Carter said recently that before he passed, Michael Jackson passed down the torch to him. So don't let your kids hang out with Aaron Carter, I guess is what we're saying.
Is that code for... What does he mean he passed the torch?
The torch of being the greatest entertainer on the planet. Dancing and singing.
Who's saying this?
Aaron Carter.
Aaron Carter saying it?
Yes. Okay. Michael Jackson picked him. Okay. Passed the torch down to him. It's up to you, Aaron. Carry on my hard work. Go forward and be mesmerizing. And look at him. Right?
Look at him.
He took that torch.
He took over the world.
He took it and he just took that torch and he just drowned it in a bucket. That's what he did to the torch. This is right up Dave's alley, which is a scary thought. I don't want to know
that's
what goes in Dave's
a bad
alley.
But Vaseline alley.
Another day, another reality series. This one's going to be on E, and it's called the LA Clippers Dance Squad.
What's up?
Yep, a series about an inside look at what it takes to be a member of the LA Clippers dance team, both on and off the court.
What's up?
Hours of auditions, rehearsals in the Staples Center to balancing personal lives and relationships. They are the LA Clippers Dance Squad.
What's up?
So, kind of like they had that Dallas Cowboys cheerleader show for a while.
Right, that we didn't need. Now we have this one that we don't need. Look, they're pretty girls and they dance nice. I don't need to know how they balance their personal lives and their booty shaking. They're twerking, and their love lives.
I'll give it a try.
Why? Because they're hot. Just because they're hot?
You find me that shallow, Ralph?
Yes. Shallower.
Yes,
more shallow.
Yeah, because they're hot.
But there's plenty of places to find hot. We don't need to take up television time with that.
Well, let's see.
What do they have to tell us that would be illuminating and or entertaining?
I'm saying let's give it a try,
I'm
Ralph.
Saying nope. What do I know?
Come over to my house.
How do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
In the NBA?
That's a great question.
How are the Clippers going to do in the NBA?
He should host it.
Oh, we got to get Dave to host the LA Clippers Dance Squad.
Perfect. Now we got a show.
Now I'm in.
You know, I'm working hard trying to get my Priest Mobster show on the air, and time is being taken up on television with the LA Clippers Dance Squad.
Well, I can see how that would rub you the wrong way.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone wrote me the other day regarding my idea. He's a gangster and a priest. See, that's the hook.
Right.
So the guy said the title should be Father Godfather.
Right.
I like it. See, it sells itself. Well, not really, because no one's buying it. But
hasn't sold
it
anything.
It should sell. He's a priest and a mobster.
But he can't be both, Ralph.
Yes, he can. That's why he's so torn, Kevin.
Okay. And that's on?
It isn't on yet. That's okay. What I'm saying is the problem is.
I see.
Body of Christ, how about body of you in a dumpster? That's his catchphrase.
And he uses that every time he takes mass and then rubs someone out?
Well, he doesn't do it at the same time.
Okay. Does he ever kill anyone when they come in to do confession?
Oh, yeah.
Like in the booth? Yeah. Like he just shoots the guy
confused?
In the booth? No. I'm saying he's a multitasker.
Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Forgive me, loser, because I'm going to kill you.
Boom.
Boom. Fade to black commercial.
I don't know why that's not already on the air.
Father Godfather will return right after this.
I'd watch it.
Just for the hot girls?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would there be hot girls in it?
Sure, why not?
Then yes.
That's another part. It's another thing he's torn about. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Sarah Hyland. Speaking of hot girls, she, of course, the star of Modern Family. 25 years old today. Apparently, she and the whole gang were in Miami Beach, Florida over the weekend, celebrating the nuptials of Sofia Vergara.
Oh, right, yeah.
And her handsome husband, Joe Manganiello.
It's pretty close, I think.
I think it is. Yeah.
By the way, Roth has said this before. That show we take for granted. It's great.
We sure do.
It is great.
It has dropped off none in its quality since that first season where everybody said, this is the greatest show on television. And now we're so used to it being great. We're like, oh, I'll watch that and I will just love it.
Yeah. It's great.
If anything, it's gotten stronger. This show's so damn funny. Katherine Heigl's 37 years old today. Colin Hanks, speaking of funny shows, he's on that Life in Pieces. He's 38 years old today. Stephen Merchant, very funny and talented actor and comedian, writer, longtime partner of Ricky Gervais, of course. They worked together on many successful series. He's 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, Walk the Showbiz Beat.
I don't know how it's possible we have never had our next guest on the Kevin and Bean Show before, because he is one of the most popular comedians in the world, and he is in town this weekend at the Brea Improv, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, talking about the great Russell Peters, who joins us here on K-Rock.
Hey. Hey,
Russell.
Well, not this weekend.
I believe it's next weekend. Yes.
Yeah.
So I got it wrong. Yes. Out of the gate.
You can start again. Try again.
Bitch.
Take two.
Go ahead.
Not this weekend, but next weekend, starting on Thursday, December 3rd, and then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, improv.com. That's the Brea location. Tickets on sale now at improv.com to see Russell Peters. How you doing, man?
Great. It's weird to not look at you when I talk to you.
I know, and I know it's weird. It's weird.
I keep looking at Chip, so.
But it's best.
Yeah, it is
She's
best.
She's much better look at than Dean, so.
Look at Chip and just picture my voice coming out of her, if that's what makes you comfortable. So, Russell, you've been doing this a really long time.
Just 26 years. Just
26 years in comedy.
Just an overnighter in this game.
Is it easy at this point, or is it still torture to come up with new material? It's still hard work.
No, I still... You know what? It's very easy. It's not. Well, listen, I'm not curing cancer out there.
Right.
I'm just talking nonsense, and people are giggling. That's all I want.
Some people, right. It seems like they really have to work and craft, and other people seem like they can almost wing it, or at least it sounds like you're winging it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have fun with it still. You know, I think a lot of people treat it like it's. Like, I think a lot of people are smarter than they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they treat it like a real job, or they went to college and they know how to make notes. I didn't have all that growing up. So I treat it like this. I'm just talking. It's really not a big deal.
So it always just came naturally to you? You were just the guy who was able to know the right thing to say as a little kid to be funny?
Yep. Since I was a little kid, it was my defense mechanism to not get beat up, but
make everyone laugh.
Yeah, they would say something to me, and then I would say something back, and it would either make them not want to hit me or make them hit me twice as hard.
So. Okay.
By the way, Russell, you are a big guy. I mean, if somebody didn't know who you were and they saw you, I mean, you're obviously a guy who works out and is in good shape. I mean,
are you asking him out or
no? I'm okay. Saying,
you know, Bean, I was just telling you about my assistant. We're not actually gay. We're just
looks that way on the surface. I'm saying you look like you could be a professional athlete, It's a surprise to me because that's very rare. I mean, with the exception of Rogan, I can't think of a lot of other guys who are in such good shape who are doing comedy.
Well, it's funny because Rogan and I are good friends. I used to box and I did some jiu-jitsu too. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we have the fighting thing in common.
How long did you do the jiu-jitsu?
The jiu-jitsu for 3 years and boxing for 9. And funny enough, I'm going to start training again jiu-jitsu.
You are.
I was with a Machado brother.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Higan Machado.
That's hardcore. Yeah. And you love MMA like we do.
I do. I do love it. What do you think?
What did you think of the Rousey home fight?
I think Rousey made a major mistake by trying to box with a boxer. And the other thing is, you can't only blame Ronda. You got to blame her corner, because when she sat down, they said she's doing great.
That was shocking to us.
Yeah, what was that about?
Yeah, I don't know. They're Armenian. I don't know. Maybe they were watching something else from Glendale. I don't know. But...
we had Holly in here on Friday, and we asked her that same question, and she said, look, some fighters need different kinds of motivation during a fight. She said, I'm not like that. I want to know if I'm losing, I want to know I'm losing and why. Give me as much information as you can. But some people, and maybe Rhonda, her theory was, maybe Rhonda reacts differently to that kind of information. Maybe that's what she needs to hear to do what she has to do next.
I don't think so.
I don't feel that way about her either. I feel like she would want to know the truth as well.
You know what it was? It almost feels like her camp got caught up in her hype.
Yeah, that could be. I mean,
which happens a lot.
Because she has gone forward and taken punishment because she knows she's going to end it so soon.
Yeah.
She can take some punishment. But then when she tried to do the armbar or whatever and it didn't work.
Yeah, she tried to take her down and not
the whole
happen.
First round. Then she came back out the second round the same way. I was totally shocked.
Yeah, but her defense was horrible.
There was. It was no defense. It was just go ahead, take your best shot.
Yeah, just come forward. No side to side, no head movement. I'm like, can you just try and duck? I mean, doesn't human nature dictate if you see something coming at your face, you move? Unless it's me with my wiener. But I'm just saying.
In which case, there's no getting out of the way.
Yeah, that's it.
You go see MMA in person sometimes?
I do. I go quite often, actually.
It's terrifying up close, right?
It's amazing.
You see on TV that it really hurts. But, I mean, I think
it hurts more on TV because when you're in the arena, there's so much noise.
Yeah, that's unless you're sitting right up close, that's true.
And I am usually, like, I get great seats and then Chuck Zito gets even better seats, and he's a good friend of mine, so he'd be like, come sit with me. And then
You're
literally just the bar away from the fighters.
Wow.
And I'll show you videos. It's amazing. When they walk in, that's the most exciting part.
I always wondered if that's super annoying to the person who walks in first, because they walk in, and play some music, okay, a little applause, all right, then get in the ring, then they turn off the lights, and then it takes like 10 minutes for the music, and the walk is like, come on, let's fight.
That's all mental warfare right there.
I know. I just think if I'm the challenger, I find that super annoying.
It is, because if you're the challenger and I'm the champion, I'm going to make you wait as long as I can so you cool down. So when I get in the ring, I'm warm, you're cold, and better chance you're going to sleep than I am.
Yeah.
That was the other thing that was so surprising about that last fight, though, was Holly, when she got into the ring, she just started running. Like, I would have been exhausted before that fight began if I had run as much in place as Holly did waiting for Rhonda to get into the octagon.
Hey, yeah, I'm with you, buddy.
So much energy. It's crazy.
I would sit still. Give me my stool. I'm just going to wait.
Take a nap. Right, exactly. Since you started in comedy so young, Russell, and it seems like you always kind of knew what you wanted to do, did you have many traditional jobs outside of comedy? Any real jobs?
I did. Actually, I worked in shoe stores, worked at Wendy's. I was a shift manager at Wendy's.
Sweet.
I got fired because I refused to fire somebody.
Really?
I couldn't do it. I was like, I can't. This person's making their life.
Why were you supposed to fire them?
I don't know. For something stupid. I was like, come on. They didn't steal.
Give
them
a break.
Come
on. You were trying to be the nice guy, and then they fired you?
Yeah. They were like, well, if you can't be a manager, then you can't be a manager. And I'm like, all right, I'll see you guys later.
I'll go work somewhere else. Yeah, I'll show you.
I'll take my spatula and get out of here.
How much traveling do you do throughout the year?
An insane amount.
Are you like a 48-week-a-year guy? Or
I would definitely say 48 to more.
Oh, my Lord.
I just came home Sunday from Toronto.
Where you're from?
I'm from.
Okay.
It was a little roast for one of my DJ friends out there. Mm-hmm. And then last night I did a show with George Lopez and Arsenio Hall and Wendy Liebman and Ruben Paul. And then we're here today. But this is my first time off now.
For how long?
Till January. And then, I don't consider anything. Anytime I'm working in the U.S., to me, is time off.
It is.
So, yeah, if we're going to Brea.
Anywhere in the United States.
If I'm in Brea, time off. If I'm in Arizona, time off.
That's crazy.
So I'm leaving for the Middle East in January, which should be exciting, guys. I don't know if you know, but things are happening over there.
Yeah, it's all good there. Everybody's happy.
Have you been there before?
Many times.
You go to, you entertain the troops?
No, I do the real people.
Where are you going?
We're going to do, I'm doing Egypt.
Okay.
That Sphinx. And I hear the women there have beautiful nephews. Thank you.
A little slow.
I didn't finish it on that one. But I think that was on purpose.
So you're actually going to play for Egyptians, like in a comedy club?
I'll do a theater or an arena out there. When I do the Middle East, it's always Arabs that are there. Or Arabs and expats.
Okay.
You know, it's 95% Arab, and then whoever is not Arab that's living there will come out to the shows too.
But same no, comedy?
Yeah. Always? I don't change one thing. Nothing. If I, being an atheist, I don't talk about that, but right. You know,
probably best to leave religion.
Yeah, you want
to
leave on. You want to leave all those things off the table.
That's a good choice.
You know what? If this is my choice and that's their choice, let's just watch Sophie's choice. Let's.
What draws you to perform in the Middle East? I mean, as you mentioned, there are safer places in the world to go.
There are.
Why do you go there, Russell?
I have a huge following out there, and I was just funny enough talking about it. I was trying to set up. Because I want to show no favoritism to anybody. That's just how I live my life. So I was trying to set up a date in Israel, and then the next night I wanted to do Palestine.
Right.
Or whether I did Palestine and then Israel, whatever the case is, I wanted to do both.
How did that work out? That should be easy enough.
You can get blown up in either, so it doesn't really matter which one goes first.
Yeah, so we were talked out of it.
You were talked out of it?
We were talked out of it by locals over there that said, you know, we understand what you're trying to do, but it's probably not going to...
But stop it.
Yeah, it's not going to benefit you.
All right.
And I was like, all right, well, good talk.
They probably know.
Yeah. So we're going to do all the regions around it, though. You know, we got Egypt. We got Jordan. I'm going to shoot out to Turkey for a day and do a
little Syria.
Syria is very hot this time of year.
Syria, it's great. I was going to play the Jihahahahadhat, and but I did not get the booking.
You did not.
It's a shame.
All right. Russell Peters going all over the world. You can see him not this, but next weekend at the Brea Improv. It's the Almost Famous World Tour. 6 shows starting on December the 3rd. Tickets available right now at improv.com. It is 21 and up. Quick break. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Comedian Russell Peters in studio with us. You can see him at the Brea Improv starting Thursday, December 3rd for 6 big shows. Tickets available now at improv.com. Just $40. By the way, Russell, you are a host of a new interview program called Speakeasy. Well, the show's been around for a while.
Show's been around.
You're the new host. Tell us about it.
Well, I was a guest on Speakeasy when Paul F. Tompkins was hosting it, and I had a good time. And then I guess Paul, I don't know how, I think he did, what, about 7 seasons of it or something? So, you know, he hung up his interview hat, and they asked me if I would like to do it, and I was like, hell yeah, I'd like to do it.
This is a show, Kevin, where you drink continuously while you interview your guest.
Well, it's not like you're hooked up to an IV, you know.
No, but I'm just saying it's encouraged. You're at a bar, and it's encouraged to drink while you talk.
It's the best way to do an interview.
Kind of a fun way to do it, right?
You know what's funny about it is that we start taping like 10 in the morning, and they go, do you want a real drink in the morning, or do you want a fake one? I go, oh, no, we're going in.
Yeah.
Get me my tequila. I start at 10 a.m. with that. My liver hates me.
Now you have a legitimate reason to have your people reach out to any star in the world that you would like to have a conversation with. How are you going to abuse that privilege, Russell?
I've asked for everybody. They send me lists, like approval lists. I'm like, yeah, I approve everybody. I'm nobody. Let me interview everybody. I want to talk to people. I want to know how they're working.
Who's the biggest name?
So, I mean, we've only done 4 episodes right now. And we had Paul, you know.
He was the first one.
It was our torch passing ceremony. We had Jezelnik on. He was great.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, we had.
He's funnier now than he's ever been, too.
Yes.
He's incredible. His special on Netflix was one of my favorite hours of TV I saw all year long. It was great.
Yeah, he's a great dude, and I've known him for a little while. And it's funny because he reminded me of one time I tried to give him a bit when I was hammered at the improv. And I go, hey, here's a bit you can do. And then he brought it up when we were doing the interview, and he goes, don't ever do that again. And I go, still not, you know, you still don't like it? No, it's terrible. It's a terrible premise.
So, I just love that wait, he's was the only guy out there keeping dead babies jokes alive.
Well, that's what the joke was about.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Was it the topic or what was the
reason? I think the joke was, I pulled him aside. I go, hey, Pete. You know, I mean, Anthony, sorry. Hey, Anthony.
Well, if you said, hey, Pete, that's a problem.
I was drunk. Okay. I go, hey, Anthony, hey, I got a bit you could do because I can't do it. My fans would be like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, what is it? And I said, it was like, I love the Make-A-Wish Foundation, not because I care about anything. It's just, I like children, but for really short amounts of time.
By the way, that's a pretty good joke for him.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good fit.
And he was like, nah. Not for me.
Those of you that are easily offended, do not watch this Anthony Jeselnik because it is 100% offensive. That's
awesome.
That's his goal.
It's awesome.
And he achieves it.
I had Michael Shannon on.
You did?
Oh, one of the best actors in the world.
He's ridiculously good.
Ridiculously good in everything.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw him was in that movie Iceman. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away. I was like, this guy needs an Academy Award for this. Because I'm scared watching him. And it was just the look in his eyes. And
he was incredible and incredible through Boardwalk Empire. Yeah. He's done so much great. Wasn't he in Revolutionary Road, too, I want to say he was
probably.
In?
Probably.
He got nominated for an Oscar for that.
Oh, yes, yes, he was.
See, those are the kind of – it's interesting you bring this up because obviously we do a lot of interviews on this show, too, Russell. Those are the kind of people that I am most nervous about because I'm too much in awe of their talent in their area of expertise that I'm afraid of embarrassing myself. I know it's dumb because they don't know me or care about me, but I'm always afraid I'm going to embarrass myself by asking someone who I consider a great person a dumb question.
Yeah, no, it happens all the time, and I geek out, and then I have to kind of pull myself back in, and then I try to relate to them on like a human level,
as opposed,
you know, I want them to know I'm a fan, but at the same time, I also want to know how they are as a human, but I don't want to get too deep, like when people like people come up to me, it's so annoying, people come up to me like, hey man, really happy for your success, are you happy? And I'm like, am I happy? What?
They ask you if you're happy within 4 seconds of meeting you?
Yeah, no, they'll be like, and I'm like, why do I look unhappy? Yeah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not unhappy at all. I have a phenomenal life.
Isn't that weird that that's what they pick up on?
You know, they don't even pick up on it. They're trying, you know, they're trying to act deep like they can see something.
I'm like,
you're an idiot. Shut up.
Well,
just because I'm sarcastic doesn't mean I'm miserable. That means I'm happy.
And some of it might just be that a lot of people believe the stereotype that comedians are all unhappy people.
Yeah, I'm definitely not an unhappy person.
Which definitely isn't true. I mean, there are all kinds of comedians on all levels of happiness, for sure. So who's the dream guest that you think you might actually get for Speakeasy?
Ooh, I don't know. Because
I know there's a fantasy list that just – you're not going to get Jennifer Lawrence on. I don't know how to tell you this, Russell. It's just not going to happen. There are those that level of people.
I wouldn't know what to talk to Jennifer Lawrence about. I'd probably try and hit on her, and that would be, you know
– ill-advised. She'd shut that down pretty quickly,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, so I mean, I would do it smart, not like, hey, I'm on a – you know. But I wouldn't be a savage. Conk, come here. Kiss me, you know. I got more game than that, guys. Come on.
I'd like to watch the bad one, though. I'd like to watch that one. That would be interesting.
I know you're a huge hip-hop fan. How about that world? Who would you get on from there? Like, would you interview the Wu-Tang or somebody?
Jay-Z? Here's the thing. I'm friends with all the rappers I grew up listening to.
Oh,
you're friends
awesome.
With all of them?
Well, I would say a good 95% of them.
Really?
And I'm talking, you know, Big Daddy Kane will come and stay at the house, Jazzy Jeff, DJ Scratch from EPMD.
How did that happen?
Because you grew
up in Toronto, right?
I did grow up in Toronto.
Then how do you become friends with those
people? So here's what happened. I started DJing 30 years ago.
So, DJing parties?
Yeah, DJing parties.
Okay.
Like, and battle DJing, like the scratching.
You were.
And, so,
you were a battle DJ.
I was. And then I got very involved in the hip-hop scene. And then I had a radio show in Toronto. I was the co-host.
Uh-huh. We are learning so much about Russell Peters.
A hip-hop show, funny enough.
Okay.
And so we'd meet a lot of the rappers when they'd come in. And then as my success rose, my profile rose. And then these guys appreciate that I appreciate them. And here we are today.
Who haven't you been able to meet? You said 95%.
I've met Jay-Z, but I wouldn't say if I met him again, he wouldn't remember ever meeting me.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to meet Biggie, who was my favorite.
You ever interview or you ever meet Kanye?
No, I have not met Kanye. But I think him and I would get along for some strange reason.
Yeah, we thought that too, but...
No, it didn't happen?
Well, we got surprised by him one day. We were just wrapping up the show. We were finished.
Yeah.
We were talking about tomorrow's show, and we were getting ready to walk out, and the door opened, and he walked. And
what, he was just not announced?
It was not announced because there are other radio stations in the building, and he was going to one of them, and our program director thought, hey, this would be great. Let's just bring him in. But when you're not prepared, it's weird, you know? And then Kanye's sitting there. And this was right when he was starting. He was doing a lot of that I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest stuff. And so we were just – we didn't know what to say. And he believes everything he's saying. I'll tell you that.
Is he?
Are you sure
it's not just for
– I'm not positive, but it sure does seem like he believes everything he says.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand that. I don't justify it. But I'm like I it always is very bizarre to me when people forget their humility.
Yeah, that's been a long time ago, I think, for him.
And Kevin's right. We were unprepared, and we just didn't handle the interview. We were a little starstruck and a little blinded by the light, and he came in, and this is when he was talking about how Kim Kardashian should get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which we all know is ridiculous, but it's also weird.
something.
It's also weird to say that to the dude's face because it's his wife. You know what I mean? And it was just an awkward situation.
Yeah, you can't come in here and start, you know, I'm a realist. So if somebody comes in and starts to, like, talk about things that you're like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
You're absolutely detached from reality. Right. Like, there's things I love, but I'm aware people don't like them.
Right, exactly,
you know,
yeah.
You know, I love real DJing and turntablism. But if I was to say, hey, you want to come watch some? And you came, you'd be standing there. What is he doing? I don't care what he's doing. It sucks. If you're not into it, you're not into it. So
I feel like we have just scratched the surface, but I want you to come back another time, Russell Peters.
I'm down, buddy.
Talk some more about the hip-hop and talk some more about your life. And there's a lot of stuff we didn't get to, but it's great to finally have you on the show after all these years.
Had you guys play, like, rock, like classic rock? I was listening on the way in. We try to play
current rock. It's difficult. There's not much rock.
No, I know.
There's Foo Fighters, and then...
And I heard Maroon 5 when I walked in.
Yeah. Well, no, that was on another station.
Oh, was that
there's
it?
There's a couple of stations here. Sometimes
I heard
them
in the hallway.
PA.
Okay, yeah.
We are, you know, right now, the 1975 and Panic at the Disco, and of course, you know, Weezer and Bastille and Cage the Elephant.
Oh, yeah, so I don't know any of that.
All right.
I musically checked out at around 2001.
Okay.
It's kind of like I'm an iPod and I'm full.
Okay.
You cannot add new songs.
Was the last group you added Limp Bizkit then?
No, not even. Okay. You know what I'm honestly listening to is just a classic rock all day. That's
all
it.
All right.
Yacht rock even.
Yacht rock.
Oh, Steely Dan, Doobie Brothers.
Save that for next time. I am down with you on Michael McDonald and Sam Ambrosia.
Oh, my God.
That's terrible.
I want to hear.
Little River Band, I'm with you.
Oh, nope. Yeah, Little River Band.
Nope.
Yeah. Come on.
Nope.
We'll go dancing in the dark.
Uh-uh.
Walking through the park. Nobody?
And reminiscing.
All right. Nope.
No!
Russell Peters at the Ray Improv. We're out of time. Go see him starting Thursday night, December 3rd at 8 o'clock. And then two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then I get on Sunday. Tickets are just $40 at improv.com, 21 and up. He's dirty and he's funny. Russell Peters, thanks so much for coming.
Hey, and try to watch, and please watch Speakeasy at mademen.com.
Deal. There you go. Thank you, man. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
This Saturday, big doings, USC, UCLA. This year, it really means something. The winner determines the Pac-12 South winner. A lot of ground to cover on this topic. Our friend Petros Papadakis is the best person to go to from the Petros and Money Radio Show on AM 570, Fox Sports Radio. Hey, P, how you doing, buddy?
Good morning. Fight on. How's everybody doing? Happy Rivalry Week. Happy Thanksgiving. Popo's out.
All of the above.
All of those things. You lost any jobs since the last time we talked to you, P? Are you good?
No.
Good. All right.
I'm intact.
All right. We have many questions.
I had like a sweating episode on a Sunday night on NBC, so I'm just hanging by a thread.
What happened there? Were the lights just up too high, or were you nervous about something you were saying, or were you too close to the talking rooster? What happened?
I don't know. It's a parrot, and I don't know. I don't know if you know this about me, but I suffer from multiple anxiety disorders.
Right.
Which is
why a career in media was an excellent choice for you, Pete.
You know, I kind of backed into it, as you guys know.
Yeah.
You guys didn't help, so thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Now, Pete, I want to talk about the big game, of course. That's why we have you on. But let me ask a larger question, because I read an article this week that was fascinating to me, that they are having trouble finding enough teams with winning records to fill out the brackets for all of the bowl games that are happening this season. You know what I'm talking about? What's going on with that?
They're just once in a while, like this happens. Happens, I don't know, kind of like a blue moon, you know, it happens like every 5 years or something like that, where there's just a lot of parity in college football and a lot of random teams are beating teams that they should not, I suppose, and it just kind of plays out from there. But it's not that big of a deal. I mean, there's a lot of bowl games, and the truth is, whether or not there's people in the stands, whether or not it looks really sexy, people are going to watch those games on December 15th when they're bored as hell. That's just what's going to happen. We end up watching these college football games, and I don't really have that big of a problem with it, to be honest.
How many bowl games were there when you were a player versus how many there are now?
Maybe there's about 15 more or 10 more. I mean, there was a lot when I was playing. You know, I used to think I didn't play that long ago because I've been going on the show that long. I mean, I used to be a year out. You know, now it's like 15.
15, exactly.
It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed a great deal, to be honest.
All right.
I mean, look, the bowls. There's the reason there's college football played, and the reason it's on TV is because it makes a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, I can see that.
3 years in a row, UCLA has defeated your mighty Trojans in the big game. Will this year be any different?
No. No, I don't think so. I think UCLA's got their number again. I mean, this is the fourth different head coach that – and we were talking about stability and how long you've had a job.
Yeah.
This is the fourth different head coach that Jim Mora will have faced since he's been at UCLA, which is this is now his fourth USC-UCLA crosstown showdown. So,
and is that ideal, having a new coach each year?
No. It is a giant monolith of instability. And USC is just a really, I should say, unstable place. And it's not going to change anytime soon. They're going to have another coach. And next year, assuming Jim Mora is still at UCLA, if he doesn't take some NFL job or something, then he'll be facing his fifth coach since he's been at UCLA. So UCLA, both teams are pretty undisciplined, guys. Both teams, let's face it, have been disappointing this year and been very undisciplined at times. USC really bad last week up at Oregon. And whoever wins the Pac-12 South is probably going to be a lamb to the slaughter to a more talented and more, not talented, but just more organized Stanford team and a better Stanford team. So it's a fun game. There's a lot on the line, probably more on the line than they've ever had since both teams have been in the Pac-12. But I think USC is going to get beat.
Pete, do you get a lot of hate from USC people?
Yes.
Oh, boy, does Pete ever.
You know,
people think you should pick them for life just because you went there.
I picked them. The first time I picked against SC where anybody was actually listening was like on TV. I think it was like 2002, and they had just lost the game to Kansas State, so I said that Oregon State was going to beat them at home. And they ended up beating Oregon State, I think, in overtime. And while I was walking off the field, somebody threw a hot dog at my head.
All right.
Yeah. And called me an a-hole. And
well, they weren't wrong.
Yeah, no, ever since then, it's been raining hot dogs whenever I show up in public.
Pete, you know what? This is so disorienting for me. And you know I love you like a brother, even though you shined me when you came to Seattle last time and wouldn't see me.
Oh, dear God.
Well, we
stop
already had
crying.
That discussion.
I know. I'm just saying. I haven't forgotten.
I'm going to Morgantown on Thursday night on the Red Eye. Would you like to accompany me? You'll get a lot of friendship time with me then.
Is that in West Virginia?
Sure is, Broseph.
Yeah, I don't think I could make that. But my point is,
that's almost
this is
heaven.
This is the longest I've ever heard you talk without doing a 1-800-LOAN-MART ad. It's kind of disorienting for me.
Hey, listen to me. If you need an auto title loan,
right,
and your car is paid off or almost paid off, and,
yes,
a bank will shun you and your family will shun you.
Right. What should I do, Pete?
Probably call 1-800-LOAN-MART.
That's what I understand. All right. So,
you know, they got an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau.
I've heard that, yes. All right. So,
which commercial do you yell on, Pete? Is it the StubHub?
Well, that's
probably 100% of them.
All of them, yeah.
My StubHub? Kids, what do you tell you?
I don't
mean Barry?
Yeah, okay, yeah, Barry, right.
I don't know, though. StubHub,
all right, take
man.
It easy. I didn't know. I was just asking. But the reason I was asking, because every time that comes on,
Barry.
My kids go, do you know that guy that yells? I go, yeah, that's my friend. Yeah.
You should bring him over to my house. We are friends.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Tell Matt. Because Matt says that I don't have any friends, and he's always making fun of me because he's got all these cool white friends with, like, kids that go to private school, and they socialize on the weekends and go to yacht clubs and golf. And I'm not kidding, guys.
What?
Yes, that's what Matt does now.
But don't you have your friends?
No, I don't have any friends. I've never had any friends.
What?
Everybody knows that. I'm a loser.
Well, I know you say that a lot, but I assume you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
This is why Pete keeps having so many kids, is so he has somebody that has to talk to him.
That's true. On Saturday, I hung out with my father, just me and him. It was so depressing.
I'm not coming over. There's no way I'm coming over now.
All right, listen, we're out of time. Give us a final prediction for the score, then, for the big game, the crosstown rivalry, USC-UCLA, this Saturday afternoon. What's it going to be?
I think USC is going to have a hard time stopping the run. They don't have their middle linebacker. They don't have the guy that played behind him. They just haven't looked together. And now that the coach is probably not going to get the job, I can see the team splintering a little bit. I think UCLA wins by double digits. Let's say, wow, like 27-17. How about that?
All right. We'll take it. P, we love you, even though we don't hang out with you. And I just want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon, okay?
Thank you for being a friend.
You bet. Bye-bye.
It's hard to hear that song without... It's hard to hear that song without Victor Fuentes. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
She just wants to talk to him. I tell her she's sorry, but he won't pick up the phone.
Right.
And she's still saying, I'm so sorry.
Right.
This is so, so sad.
It's Tuesday morning. Ralph is here. Time for the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
See, Jimmy Kimmel have the rapprochement between Harrison Ford and Chewbacca.
I did see that.
To that song.
It's pretty funny.
It's pretty sweet, man.
Glad Dell to see is feeling the whole world.
Glad to see those guys have patched things up after Chewbacca slept with Harrison Ford's wife and all.
Chewbacca almost jumped off the building. I don't know if you saw
that. Yeah, he was going to take some life. He was how sad he was. Speaking of this Adele woman.
Adele does he.
No, wrong. Wrong Adele. This album of hers, apparently very popular.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of
that. What are you basing that on, Ralph?
It's
what kind of information do you have that leads you to that conclusion that it's popular?
Brisk sales. Brisk sales for 25, her new album. Now, keep in mind, it's only been available since Friday. But it is the best-selling album of 2015.
Yay! Wow.
Yeah, right? Wow, indeed.
Wow.
Billboard.com says at least 2.5 million units have been moved through Sunday.
Okay.
The sales week doesn't end until Thursday.
Astonishing.
So it's likely it'll be very close, if not surpass, 3 million copies, both digital and physical, by Thursday. Making it the best-selling album of 2015.
That just doesn't happen anymore.
It never happens.
And by the way, also the best-selling album in the most copies sold in a week of any album ever since they started counting via SoundScan back in, 1991?
Back when people actually bought albums.
Right.
Still,
I mean, it really is astonishing.
Here's my theory.
Okay.
Stick with me on this one.
All right.
Okay.
People are desperate for people who have real talent.
Is that it?
That's my theory.
Yeah.
Well, I'm with you on that. I think that's part of it.
I think we live largely in a world of manufactured, pre-programmed...
Justin Bieber.
...broken down, electronic, constructed, faux music. And when people hear someone with genuine talent, they can't help but respond.
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
It's hard to find someone who doesn't like Adele.
Yes. You know why? Because she's really, really good.
Yeah.
And there's no artifice, there's no image, there's no fake breasts and dildo wearing in concert with sparkle hat.
I don't like the shade it seems like you're throwing on my girlfriend, Miley Cyrus.
There's no dance remixes. There's no silly videos.
Oh, there's a dance remix, and it's terrible. Somebody remixed that Hello song. That's
right.
A dance
but
remix.
Not her. She didn't do
no,
it. Someone
no,
else
no.
did it.
Somebody else. It's terrible.
I'm just saying, we live so much where the focus is on the packaging and the shtick, and so little on just people doing music anymore that I think people find it refreshing and sort of compelling.
Even in interviews, she's charming.
She's just
and
a real
funny.
Person who happens to be brilliantly talented. That's all.
Yeah, she's perfect.
And I love that she doesn't play any of the media games. She has no social media presence whatsoever. Remember, they don't even let her tweet because she was tweeting too much drunk. So
yes.
They took that away from her. And but it's almost,
wait, you can't tweet drunk?
There goes Kevin's career.
What?
And it's not like she went around and for a month, beat us over the head with this new song was coming out. It just appeared one day out of nowhere.
They said, here's this. What do you think?
Here it is. Right. I mean, she just doesn't play the game the way everybody else does. And she's still better at it than everyone.
She's a phenomenon. Do. All right. Spent so much time gushing about Adele. I'm out of time.
Okay.
What are you going to do?
What, Rodney?
What, Rodney?
I think he was calling you a bigot.
Bigot?
Seemed like he was just raving.
What, because she's got a butt chin, you think, all of a sudden? I'm bigoted? I'm not bigoted against the butt chins. I like the butt chin.
You prefer them.
I love me some butt chin.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
She said so herself. Yesterday we talked about a thing on BBC she did where she put prosthetic makeup on herself so she could pretend to be a Adele impersonator and hang out with some other girls who were also auditioning for this Adele impersonator gig on television that didn't really exist. It was the Joe Schmo show, basically, with Adele. And the host, Graham Norton, was talking to her. He said, your nose, it's so different. She says, yeah. And she goes, did you have to do a chin tissue? She goes, yeah, because I got a butt chin. It's immediately identifiable, so I had to cover up my butt chin. Today's celebrity birthday, speaking of the Brits, Stephen Merchant, very funny and talented Brit, is 41 years old today. Colin Hanks, he's 38 years old. Katherine Heigl. Just could, apparently, by all accounts, could not be a more charming, easy to work with woman in show
that's
business.
That's what you always hear
Catherine.
About her. Mm,
that's just, funny.
It's so much respect for writers.
She is the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down, they say.
Wrong.
Oh, that's right. It's the exact opposite. She's 37. And Sarah Hyland, she is very funny, very talented, and very attractive. Over there on Modern Family, 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, super quick reminder here to make sure to take some time, if not today, then certainly over the Thanksgiving weekend, to go to KRF.com or KevinandMeade.com and cast your vote. Who would you like to see be Miss Double December 2016? Who will be joining the Kevin and Bean family and winning the tickets to the Weenie Rose and Acoustic Christmas and April Fools and all the stuff? Don't forget the live pageant is going to be once again in Fullerton. Our friends at the Slide Bar are hosting us on Friday, December 4th. That's a week from Friday for the Miss Double December pageant. We hope you will come on down and be part of the fun. And we start meeting the girls tomorrow, by the way, Kevin.
That's
first
right.
Contestant comes in tomorrow. We meet the finalists. So go to KRock.com and cast your vote.
Let's talk about Harrison Ford. He came out at the AMAs, the American Music Awards, and introduced
I'm
Pentatonix.
Not sure he came out, by the way.
I didn't
think he was just there as a
came out on stage.
The show is what it was. But they did something. You know, everything is, it's all Star Wars all the time right now. If it's not Adele, it's Star Wars. And they had the band Pentatonix, the a cappella group Pentatonix, doing a medley of Star Wars music. And Harrison Ford, logical choice to come out and introduce it. And I don't know, I think he's sounding a little bit rough.
Many of you know composer John Williams' name. But one thing for sure, all movie fans know of his music. Just to remind you, he wrote this. And there was this. And this one sounds vaguely familiar.
How old does he sound to you, by the way? I mean, how old is he?
He's on the phone.
70-something, right?
He's on the phone.
But
yeah.
Perhaps the most famous of all is the incredible score John Williams composed for Star Wars. Tonight you're going to hear that musical score performed by a full symphony orchestra and the best-selling a cappella group, Pentatonix, in a way you've never heard before.
So then Pentatonix does their little Star Wars medley. By the way, I'm not mocking Mr. Ford. He's freaking Han Solo.
He's not a day over 50, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably around 50. Yeah, he's way cooler than we'll ever be, but it was just an unusual choice to bring on this kind of music. It didn't seem like the type of thing I pictured Harrison Ford being into, but maybe I'm wrong. Let's find out. Our friend Mr. Ford joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Harrison. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Do you have a nice time on the American Music Awards? My friend Kevin said you came out.
On stage. I mean, it came out on stage.
Yeah.
To introduce Pentatonix.
Pentatonix.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. John Williams.
Right.
Great composer.
Also did this song.
Right. That's what you're saying. You're introducing a bunch of songs, right? we're all familiar with the musical scores that he's done. Yeah,
theme.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot of music for a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what'd you think of that Pentatonix? What'd you think about that Star Wars medley they did on stage that
night? I don't even want to go back and all say anything. And
I can't.
All the different kind of style, bringing at least.
I heard the word style.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of trouble hearing everything, Mr. Ford. If you wouldn't mind, if you could speak up a little.
I send. I'm going to come back and spinning out on this thing.
We're really trying here. We really are. We got you boosted up as high as you will go on the phone, and we just can't make out what you're saying.
I am a huge fan of
John Williams. John Williams, right?
The style.
style of music from the Star Wars movies?
Of.
Pentatonics.
Of. Music.
Right.
Music, right. Okay, that's a good answer.
Of. Oh, right. Of.
Acapella.
Oh, so, right.
Singers.
Singers. Okay, so Pentatonics was a good choice then for you to bring up.
Yeah. I'm
your actual thing.
I'm doing my own album of acapella songs.
Did you say you're doing your own album?
Yeah.
Where you're doing the singing? You're doing all the voices?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't picture that.
Well, it's good. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, we would love to hear it.
Hey, I think...
He's doing Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Yeah. I think that's the Bobby McFerrin Don't Worry, Be Happy song, Harrison. No, you're doing... That's a song from like 25 years ago. That's Bobby McFerrin's song.
Harrison.
You okay?
Be happy.
Right. Right. That's Don't Worry, Be Happy. Right.
Right. Does it have anything to do with, I mean, Star Wars? Or... Okay. All right. I don't know that the world needs your version of Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think you hit your head when that plane went down or something. Hey, what was that? Is that the Indiana Jones whip?
Yeah.
Why? Who's laughing there with you, Mr. Ford?
Beer mug.
Okay, beer mug. What?
We have a beer mug here, too. That's odd.
Right, happy.
Okay.
Thanks,
right,
happy.
All right. Right. Okay. Bye-bye, Mr. Ford. Harrison's gone bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
Whatever happened to quicksand?
Right.
Has anyone seen any quicksand lately?
That's a great question.
Where's all the quicksand?
Yeah. I don't know, man. Mm. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Hey, Ralph is here. We have time for one more showbiz beat for the program.
Sound like a question?
Sounded like there was more to follow there.
It really did. I guess I'm just rattled by the shame and embarrassment I feel for the thing that I just put up on Twitter. And
Dean just shot a video vertically.
I have been roundly criticized for it, and I accept your scorn.
Like a freaking animal.
I know that I am a monster, and I want to apologize because I didn't mean to do it. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. Ralph, did you see it? You're in it. Did you see it?
No.
Okay. I walked into my house yesterday.
Right.
And I don't mean to bite your time here. Do we have a minute? I can just explain what happened.
We got plenty of time.
Okay. I walked in the house, and my wife was there, and we have a jukebox. We have for a number of years. We have a jukebox. And your Christmas song was playing on my jukebox from the Kevin and Bean Christmas cassette days back in the 90s.
Easy, Gramps. I wasn't around for the cassette days, okay? I was only working on the Christmas CDs.
It was the reel-to-reel, wasn't it?
No, I was doing Christmas CDs when we did those things.
So yes. I walk in, and I hear Ralph Sinatra, as you were billed at the time, doing Christmas Just Ain't Christmas When You're Dead, which, by the way, one of my favorite Christmas songs. I love it so much, and I'm always excited to hear it again. And it's on my jukebox, but it's already playing. So it's in its final minute on the jukebox. And I think, oh, my God, this is so cool. I need to shoot a video of this. So I can put it up on YouTube because it's so cool that Ralph is coming out of my jukebox.
What's going on?
I was excited.
The first thing stuck, you wanted to shoot a video of some audio coming out of a speaker.
How was that the most important thing in the world at that moment?
Because I thought our audience, our listeners, would enjoy a little flashback of Ralph Garman singing a Christmas song from one of the old Kevin and Bean Christmas albums, and I thought it would be a nice moment to capture on my phone. Uh-huh. So I pulled out my phone and ran over to the jukebox again in a hurry, trying to capture it before the song ended its play, and I missed that step in my brain.
Chip's walking out. Bye, Chip.
I'm back.
See you, Chip.
Chip.
Yeah.
I skipped the step where I should have thought, well, of course I should shoot this video horizontally the way the good Lord intended.
Sure, because you have to capture audio on video.
That's not the
vertically.
Point.
We all know that.
The point is, nobody needs to see those
black
lines.
I don't know how
lines.
To run the board, Kevin. You can't leave.
Why are you
Kevin,
leaving,
you
Kevin?
You can't leave. I don't...
This...
I don't know how to work anything.
How about a little support? I'm making a very sad and painful confession here, and I deserve, I think, a little sympathy for at least being honest and coming forward and admitting my mistake. All right. Anyway, so I apologize, but I did. The video is up at my Twitter account, and I think Dave just retweeted it from Kevin and Bean, too. And I apologize.
Why?
That you have to see the awful vertical video that I shot.
Why would he retweet that?
Because
no one needs to see that.
Because it's Ralph Garman singing. If I remember, the first song you ever wrote was "Christmas Just Ain't Christmas When You're Dead," and it's so great. And I wanted to put it out there in the world this holiday season. That's all.
First of all, the first song I ever wrote was "Jewish American Princess" for the band Revolver. But
oh, right, I forgot your high school days.
It's right. Not safe, Kevin. No, I'd go back out if I were you.
All right.
Here's the thing. It's on your jukebox, right?
Yeah.
So you can pull it up anytime you want.
Yeah, but we play it on random most of the time just because that's just more fun. You don't know what you're going to get. You know what I mean? And it just, I walked
it's not
in
like
the
it was playing on the radio or something and you had to capture the moment. You could do that anytime you wanted. Didn't need to run over and do a video of it, did you?
I felt like you would look at this as a compliment that I thought so much of your work that I took the time to share it with our audience.
I don't know.
I'm the bad guy, except for the poor choice I made in how to shoot the video. And that was
your poor choice started where you said, I need to hurry up and shoot a video of the last minute of this song that's readily available here at the station. We can play anytime we like.
I meant it as a tribute, Ralph.
Well, it was
I, not received that way.
It was just inexplicable.
You're dead to me.
Apparently, I failed on every possible level.
It's just confusing.
In the execution and in the retelling, I guess.
No, it was a riveting story. I don't think
you know what? I'm going to show myself out now. How do you like that? Now
are
I'm going to.
Are you?
Bye bye. See ya.
Come on, Bean. You live there. You can't go anywhere. You don't. You have no place to go. Bean.
Oh, this is sweet.
This is awesome.
This is the best thing ever. All right, let's do some showbiz news, shall we? First of all, Star Wars. But in the midst of all that, in the midst of the Star Wars conversation, I think we're neglecting a very important story that was broken this week that no one's really talking
about.
Taint Wars. No, Taint Wars is not the thing I'm talking about. I know Dave, the King of Mexico, is very excited, as am I, that Netflix announced this week that they are going to remake the Lost in Space TV series.
Yay! Yeah!
Damn right. Lost in Space.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what Dave's talking about. Dave's a huge Lost in Space fan. For those of you who don't remember, Lost in Space was a wildly popular sci-fi television show back in the 60s. And then they tried to bring the franchise back to life with an ill-conceived, ill-executed... It was much like Bean's story about his Christmas jukebox.
Hey, I'm back now.
Oh, damn it. I didn't realize.
Hey, guys, is Bean's story over yet?
No, Kevin, he's still
here.
No,
my story is over. Now we're talking about Lost in Space. Were you going to bring up the horrible Matt LeBlanc movie?
Yeah, they did a movie version with William Hurt and Matt LeBlanc and Gary Oldman as Dr. Smith, and it was not good. But so this
unwatchable.
This is a chance for Lost in Space fans to take a second bite at that apple and maybe get a better experience out of it. So very exciting news that Lost in Space is returning to television.
Yeah.
William. The pain, William. More exciting as I get to my Dr. Smith impression again.
It's about time you dusted that one off.
And Dave is also very adamant, as am I, that the robot needs to be the robot. You got to bring back that old, floppy-armed, bubble-headed robot, and he's just got to be there. I don't care. I don't care if it's a 2015 version of Lost in Space. We need the old-school OG robot.
So you don't want an advanced robot
nope.
that basically is running the ship and answering all the questions.
I don't
and
want some human-looking android. I don't want a special effect CGI. I just want that old guy inside of a suit rolling along. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger, danger. I want that cat back.
How likely is it you think that they'll do it that way? Knowing that they're making it for a modern audience, many of whom have never
chance.
Seen the old show. Yeah.
0% chance. But I love that old robot. All right. So there's your geek update. We're neglecting Lost in Space, and I won't have it.
Rob, speaking of Netflix, are you watching the Jessica Jones?
I have not yet.
Okay.
Here's the good and bad thing about all of that brave new world of television programming is that if, like me, you are inordinately busy and you already have so many shows you're trying to juggle and keep up with. I mean, I still have two more Gothams until I'm caught up, and I've got like three Green Arrows and two Flashes and just a ton of programming that I'm just way behind on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. No one can watch it all. Even the best shows, you can't see them.
That the new shows that come on with a streaming service like that, you say, well, I even have less motivation to hurry up and watch those because I know those will be there whenever. So I tend to put those things on the back burner, but I've heard good things about it, and I will try to get there, I promise. Same thing happened with me with Daredevil. I didn't see Daredevil until well after everybody stopped talking about it because I just didn't have the time to get to it. So.
Well, that's good. What Christmas vacations are for.
Well, yeah, that and my child, Bean. Sometimes I have to spend time with the child.
Well, it's about
can't
time
just to watch television all day.
It's about time to introduce her to the magic of the electronic babysitter.
No.
Notice the television.
No, I do things with my child, Bean. Well, that's ridiculous. Takes up a lot of time. ABC announced yesterday that they've extended their deal with Dick Clark Productions and will be airing the Miss America competition for another 3 years through 2018. Oh, thank God. Thank God Miss America is still going to be a thing for the next 3 years. Because we love it. America loves it.
I don't know who watches those shows or why.
I have no idea. I'm just glad Dick Clark is still producing television because he is one of the best talents on television. I'm glad he's still putting things together for us.
We have a call on the red line. You want to take it?
Yeah, I'd love to take it. We have a special phone call. Love to hear it. Hello, Kevin and Bean Show.
Is Bean still telling that story?
No, he stopped telling that story, Kevin.
Is it safe?
Yeah, I think it's relatively safe to come back in.
All right. Thanks, Ralph.
All right. We'll see you soon, buddy.
Bye-bye now. Bye.
Are you home already?
I wondered if he was calling from his car on his way away from the radio station.
Probably on the 405 by now.
Was my story that bad?
It was not good.
What was wrong with it?
I think the subject matter and then...
the beginning, the middle, and the end.
And the narrator... And the words you were using and the point you were trying to make.
But I was trying to justify a decision that I had made and sue me for rethinking the way I live my life. But I think that's a good thing.
Are you going to go back to that story now, really?
What is it? Did you? I just got
he just
back.
Called. He just phoned in, that guy. Now Chip's leaving again.
Wait,
now Chip is leaving.
Wait, I swear to God, are you telling that story again?
He's retelling his process of thinking before he told it. Kevin, come on. Damn it. Will someone stick in here, please? Someone stick around. This is like a horror movie. And it's just me alone in the house now with the murderer.
That will not make the highlights.
All right, I'm just gonna get to celebrity birthdays and bail out of here. Today's celebrity birthday is Sarah Hyland, lovely and talented actress from Modern Family. She's 25 years old today. Katherine Heigl from Grey's Anatomy is 37. Colin Hanks celebrates his 38th birthday. Stephen Merchant, very talented actor, writer, comedian, longtime partner with Ricky Gervais on all their TV stuff. He is 41 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. I guess it's up to me to tell you about Wednesday's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Yes.
It is going to be a good one because we start meeting the Miss Double D contestants tomorrow. Get a chance to get to know their personality a little bit. Cherie is going to be in studio, as
Daddy
is Carrie Nike. Tomorrow.
Daddy you can go Nike, to Cherie.
KevinandBean.com and cast your vote who you would like to be Miss Double December 2016. Also, our friend Brad Williams, famous comedian, joins us at the program tomorrow. Pete Wentz is going to be by talking about all things Fallout Boy. We got RJ Bell doing him a little early this week because of the holiday weekend with his picks for the NFL. Michael B. Jordan on the show tomorrow, Ralph.
Creed himself, Adonis Creed?
Yes, wow. Yes, yes. Love that kid. Looking forward to talking to him. That'll be at 7 o'clock tomorrow. And, of course, we have a brand new Internet Roundup and more tickets you can win to the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 show. All of that tomorrow morning and no bad stories for me right here on K-Rock.